Good evening. I'd like to call this Reedley City Council meeting to order for Tuesday, October the 12th. I've asked Pastor Horatio Alamon to, with Cruising for Jesus, to do the invocation. And I've asked Councilman Soleno if he would lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance. Would you all please rise?
Thank you. Gracias. Well, in Psalms 127:1, it says, if the Lord does not build the house, all those who work in it, it's in vain. And also in the city. And one of the things I like about Reedley is that we always think about God. This town has always been an example to many towns. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, Father God, we thank you for the board that you have chosen. For you even told Pilate, you ain't got no power over me, but he who gave him to you. And they're here, God, because you have appointed them to be here and to lead us through this town. And we ask that you will bless them. We bless that you will bless Reedley and many other towns. And we thank you for all those who are here tonight, that we will always remember, if you don't build a house, all of us who work in it is in vain. So God, build your house. We love you. We receive you. And we believe in you, and we accept you into our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please join the council and salute to our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
May I have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Salina.
Here.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Here.
Mayor Fowle.
Here. Okay, we need the agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay, any from council? Okay, can I entertain a motion?
We'll move.
Second.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salina.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Okay, we have some presentations this evening. I'll turn it over to Sarah.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and member of the council. I would like to invite forward our recreation supervisor, Madison Mitchell, who is going to be doing the Red Ribbon Proclamation.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. Madison Mitchell, Recreation Supervisor. Every year, this Red Ribbon Committee plans events to bring awareness to drug and alcohol prevention for Red Ribbon Week. The committee is a collaboration of Reedley PD, Kings Canyon Unified, Boys and Girls Club, and the City of Reedley. Last week, we had the newspaper sales in downtown with the help of Reedley High School ASB. The annual poster contest was sent out to the after-school programs, and now we are getting ready for our Red Ribbon Carnival, which will be held at the Reedley Community Center this year. We do have some goodies in front of you, as well as the carnival flyer. We hope to see you there. We will now be reading the Red Ribbon Proclamation. I have asked the Reedley Boys and Girls Club members to introduce themselves with their name, grade, and school they attend before reading.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Mayo. I go to the Reedley High School and I'm in 11th grade.
Great. Hi, my name is Christopher Andrade. I go to Grant and I'm in 8th grade.
Hi, my name is Angel Rano. I go to Reedley High School and I'm a junior.
Great. Whereas alcohol and other drugs abuse has reached pandemic stages in California and throughout the United States, and whereas it is imperative that community members launch Unify Invisible Tobacco, Alcohol, and other drug prevention education programs and activities to eliminate the demand for these substances. And
whereas California for Drug Free Youth Inc. coordinates the California Red Ribbon Celebration in cooperation with the National Federation of parents to offer our citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitment to healthy drug-free lifestyles. And whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across America during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through the 31st of 2021.
Whereas parents, youth, government, businesses, business, law enforcement, school, religious institutions, service organizations, social service, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this week-long celebration. And whereas we recognize and commend the contributions made by the Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reilly Police Department, and California Health Collaborative, and the City of Reilly Community Services Department. Whereas the community of Reilly further commits its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration.
Now, therefore, I, Mary Fast, Mayor of the City of Reilly, do hereby proclaim October 23rd to 31st, 2021 as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Reilly and encourage all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention programs and activities, making a visible statement and commitment to healthy drug-free communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth. And be it further proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Reilly encourages all community members to pledge no use of illegal drugs and no illegal use of legal drugs. Dated October 12th, 2021. Mary Fast, Mayor of the City of Reilly. I'd like to give this presentation to you boys. Thank you. Thank you very much for participating tonight. Don't ever be afraid to talk. You did a great job publicly. Thank you very much. Okay, looks like we have another recognition of Danny Ferguson, Coach of the Year.
Yes. So at this time, I'd like to bring forward our recreation coordinator, Jesus Rodriguez, to introduce this year's Coach of the Year.
All right. Good evening, council members. My name is Jesus, recreation coordinator for the City of Reilly. Tonight, I'm excited to nominate a great coach, a coach that's been through our programs here with the city. Let me allow myself to share a couple of reasons behind his nominations. Working in youth sports, I've had the honor of working alongside wonderful coaches. This year, it is with great pleasure that I nominate Danny Ferguson as a 2021 Coach of the Year. Danny Ferguson has stood out for countless reasons. One of the great reasons, of course, stems from the way he treats his players, his parents, and the game. His passion does not go unnoticed. It is the same passion that makes even the most challenging of days seem most effortless. And this pandemic, nonetheless, Danny has been a team player just as much as he has been a coach. Eager to find solutions, he stepped up to the plate, literally, to help players participate in our youth baseball program, aim the uncertainty and chaos of the previous years. Over the course of the year, through trying times, Danny has continued to bring positivity above all. He has played a major role in providing our kids in our town through his role as a coach. I appreciate all of his contributions and know that we are very lucky to have you as part of this program. Mm-hmm. With that being said, it is my great pleasure to recognize Danny Ferguson as Coach of the Year for the City of Reilly for the 2021 year.
You know, it was a very challenging year. But we came together and we tried to give the kids the best year they could have under these circumstances. So we combined our practices and, you know, we had a good time. It's a great joy to be able to coach kids. My little son was Liam over there. He was on my team. And my older son, Tristan, there sitting next to him. I coached him for many years. It's a lot of fun and it's a great joy. And I think back when I was playing, you know, and I want to bring that, what those coaches brought to me, to these children. Mm-hmm. So on behalf of my family, all the kids that came out were able to play this year, the coaches and the parents and everybody, I thank you for this award, and it's humbling, and I'm honored, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Well, it's good leadership like that that trains young men and young women as they get older. So that's really what you're doing, is training while you're having fun playing. And my kids had that experience with Little League and with the sports too. So I'm very thankful for coaches like you. Thank you. We also have an introduction of a community services youth representatives and recreation intern.
Yes, so Madison and Jesus are gonna tag team this because they work with all of these individuals.
So I'll start with the youth reps. Every year, the city of Reedley recruits youth representative candidates to serve on the Community Services Commission. Youth reps serve as a voice for Reedley's youth to the commission. They attend all commission meetings and support 3 to 4 community services events. I'd like to introduce Emily Medina Delgado, who served the same capacity as last year. Not only is she a youth rep who helps recruit many volunteers for our events, but she is also our tumbling instructor at the community center. Our second youth rep is Roman Ramos, and although this is his first year as a youth rep, he has been a lifeguard for my aquatics team for 2 years. So now I will have Emily and Roman introduce themselves.
Hello, council members. As you already know, my name is Roman Ramos. I attend Reedley High School, and I'm a junior there. I'm a part of the water polo team for the high school, and during the spring, I also do swim, so I kind of help out with lifeguarding. One other club I participate in would be the new Junior Chamber of Commerce Board, which was made last year. Very good club. Basically, why I joined this commission is to contribute more to this community. I was born and raised here, and I've come to love this city. What I really liked about this commission is it allows me to voice comments and concerns on behalf of the youth of Reedley, and to be honest, it's a great honor. Thank great. You.
Thank you for being willing to serve.
Good evening. My name is Emily Medina Delgado, and I'm a senior at Reedley High School. This is my second year serving as a youth representative, so I'm very fortunate for this opportunity. I'm involved quite a bit within our community and also on campus. I'm on the Chamber Junior Board. I was also selected as Reedley's Junior Citizen of the Year. And I have over 400 service hours on my back. So I kind of contribute a lot, not only to this city, but also neighboring cities. On campus, I'm involved in Student Council, which is ASB. I'm in multiple service clubs. I'm an ambassador for the No More organization, which is affiliated with the Marjorie Mason Center. And I also work at the Student Snack Bar, aside from being a tumbling instructor.
So you're not busy, right?
I am very fortunate to be on this commission. It's given me not only the opportunity to grow as an individual, but to also share my passion with others, which is volunteering. So I'm very grateful to be here, and I hope you guys all have a great evening. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, both of you, for being willing to volunteer, and make sure you do share. You know, if there's something that comes up that you think we can get involved with as a city, you need to let our staff know. Thank you.
All right. So I would also like to take the time to introduce our Fresno State intern, Juan Aguirre. Juan has been interning with our department since mid-August. Throughout the time with us, he has actively been involved with our city's recreation department. We have appreciated his time and assistance in overseeing our recreation programs and events. We are excited to have him here with us and continue to learn a lot with what we have and what we need, you know, we offer here within our department. With that being said, I would like to pass it over to Juan to have you guys, you know, share a couple of his experience with our department and what he's done over the time.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Juan Aguirre, and I am currently completing my internship with the Reedley Community Services Department. During my time with the Community Services Department, I have been exposed to a variety of programs and events. Some of these experiences include Bingo at the Senior Center, RSCI Commission and Foundation meetings, Diaper Derby, Senior Prom, and most recently, the Fiesta Walk Race. I have worked closely with Recreation Coordinator Jesus to assist with upcoming recreational sports programs. I've taken inventory, created flyers, conducted financial reports, and attended coaches meetings. I also have the pleasure of working with the Extended Learning Program at TL Reed. I would like to thank Madison, Jesus, and Sarah for guiding me throughout my internship and providing me opportunities to apply what I have learned during my years at Fresno State. I hope I can experience and learn much more in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, putting that education into practice is really important. And I also graduated from Fresno State with that recreation administration degree, so I know what an internship value is. So thank you for being willing to come to Reedley. Public comment.
Number four.
Oh, one more. Introduction of a new Public Works Department staff. Sorry, Russ.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council members. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce the city's new Public Works Management Analyst, Heather Credit. So where'd Heather go? Oh, she's hiding from me. That's what snuck up on. So I want to tell you just a little bit about Heather. Heather was born in Reedley. She was raised in Dinuba, unfortunately. But Heather has been married to her husband, Matthew, for 16 years. They have two boys, Ryan, who's 3.5 years old, and Tyler, who's about to turn 2 years old in November. So prior to joining the Reedley team, Heather was with the city of Selma for 10 years in their finance department. And in her spare time, Heather enjoys spending as much time outdoors as she can. She loves hiking, camping, and skeet shooting. And Heather also loves to read, play board games, and root for the San Francisco Giants.
Woo.
So there's probably some yays and some boos. I don't know. But Heather also did share with me that she was really happy to come to work for the city of Reedley because it's that much closer to Kebab City. So that was... But I will say that Heather's already hit the ground running with the city, digging into the wonderful world of state mandates. She comes to the city with a wealth of experience and expertise. She's doing a grant application for us. She's got experience in project management. So we are really happy to steal her from the city of Selma. So Heather, would you like to sing us a few songs, which is required?
Okay. I just want to say thank you guys. It's been a pleasure to work here so far. I've been here for about, I think it's my third week. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, grateful for the change. It's going to be a good adventure. So I'm looking forward to it all. Thank you guys very much. Thank you.
Well, we have a great staff and I'm sure you'll be a good addition for us. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming this evening. Public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening?
No, with your hand raised, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. The consent agenda. Items are considered routine and a recommended action for each item is included and will be voted upon as one item. If a council member has questions, requests additional information, or wishes to comment on an item, the vote should not be taken until after questions have been addressed or comments made, and the public has had an opportunity to comment on the consent agenda items. If a council member wishes to have an item considered individually or change the recommended action, then the item should be removed and acted upon as a separate item. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove an item from our consent agenda? Would anybody in the audience like to remove any consent item? Okay, is there any public comment on any of the items on consent, which would be items 5 through 13?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fass.
Yes. Okay, this evening we have two public hearings for ordinances. With respect to the approval of ordinances, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. Item 14 is an introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2021-02, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley adopting environmental assessment number 2021-13, finding that no new environmental document is required, and approving change of zone application number 2021-3, and authorizing the amendment of the official zoning map of the City of Reedley to rezone two contiguous parcels at the northeast corner of East 11th Street and Northeast Avenue.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. Our titles can get extremely long when we're taking all these actions here, so my apologies for that. This is a great project that we're bringing forward to you tonight, and looking forward to presenting it. So first, to take a look at our project location. Our project location is on the northeast corner of 11th Street and Northeast Avenue, as you can see up on the map right here. Of course, it is currently the home of Sequoia Safety Council. Bordering property information around the site, as you can see, varies from office commercial to public institutional facility, high density residential and community commercial, and additional high density residential as far as its general plan land uses. The existing zoning that surrounds it is also in line with those zoning designations for the most part, high density residential, RM2, RM3, and CC, central and community commercial. So the existing land uses that coincide with that are single family homes, the Reedley Armory right across the street, the church right across the street, and medical and office and multifamily apartments across the opposite street. The property at this time is designated, general plan designation is designated as office commercial, as is the parcel to the northeast of it that we will also be discussing. So its planned land use designation is that of office commercial. The overall guiding land use principles in the general plan are supportive of the zone district that is being proposed for reclassification tonight. The proposed zone district is consistent with the principles and the objectives of the office commercial general plan land use designation. So its existing zoning is that of commercial administrative office for the parcel that is to the south. The one to the north right now is RM3, which is multifamily residential. The proposed change zoning would bring both of them into the CC or central and community commercial zone district. So it's important to point out, of course, first that the zoning designation existing and proposed are recommended by the Planning Commission to be appropriate for the change of zone, and noticing that is required for the change of zone actions to take place was appropriately published in the Mid-Valley Times and mailed to the surrounding property owners within 350 feet of the project site. September 2nd was the noticing date, the date that the item was posted in the Mid-Valley Times and sent out to the property owners for the Planning Commission action, which took place on September 16th. And September 30th was the publishing date and the date the items were mailed out to the neighboring property owners for tonight's City Council public hearing. So environmental assessment, which is pursuant to section 15168C2, the city serves as the lead agency. And because there is consistency between the proposed general plan land use designation, proposed change of zone designation, that it was determined that there were no new effects that would come as a result of this change here, because this change would then result in consistency with the general plan as opposed to inconsistency, which it actually currently is. So the Planning Commission's recommendation through resolution number 2021-12 was that they recommended the City Council approve environmental assessment 2021-13, which is the finding of no new effect. And they recommended that the City Council approve change of zone application number 2021-3, which is delivered to the City Council as ordinance number 2021-002. That action reclassifies the two contiguous parcels that have been discussed tonight that are currently zoned as CAO and RM3 to that of the CC or Central and Community Commercial Zone District designation. So staff, in line with the Planning Commission's recommendation, recommends that the City Council take the following action tonight. And that's first to hold a public hearing on the introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2021-002. That ordinance of the City Council would adopt environmental assessment number 2021-3, the finding of no new environmental document being required for this project, and it would approve change of zone application number 2021-3 and authorize the amendment of the official zoning map of the City of Reedley to rezone the two contiguous parcels at the northeast corner of East 11th Street and Northeast Avenue. That concludes staff's presentation. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions from any of the council members?
No, I think this is a smart move. And as the city grows, it's growing. It's a good move because otherwise you're going to find yourself landlocked.
And yeah, very much agree.
This second parcel will be a great improvement for them.
And I think it is important to note too that the applicant currently owns that parcel as well. So it's been under their ownership for some time.
Years, right?
So this was a long-term plan that they had, and they're just simply at the time where that growth is becoming necessary.
I just had a question. Were there any responses from any of the neighbors at the Planning Commission meeting?
The only response that we had received to any of the outreach was from AID, and they had, of course, simply just stated that they reserve the right to comment at a later date. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, we did not have anyone that came and spoke in favor or opposition outside of the applicant's team that was there to answer any questions that the Planning Commission had.
Yeah, I did notice that there used to be a ditch that went through that new property that they're wanting to move into. So
yep.
Yeah, that'll be a project to get through AID.
Always fun.
Okay. Any other questions from any council members or comments? Seeing none, I'll open the public hearing. Is there any public comment on this particular item?
No, with their hand raised, Mayor.
Okay. I'll close the public hearing and we can go forward from here. Entertain a motion. Second.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Foligno.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Faust.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We do have one more public hearing this evening. Item number 15, to consider the following items associated with the development of the southeast corner of Button Willow and Dinuba Avenue. An introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2021-004, An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley adopting environmental assessment number 2021-14, a finding of no possible effect, and approving change of zone application 2021-5, and authorizing the amendment of the official zoning map of the City of Reedley. And then item B, to adoption of resolution number 2021-110, adopting environmental assessment number 2021-15, a categorical exemption dated September 16, 2021, and approving a site plan review application number 2021-13. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Ellen Moore, Senior Planner with the Community Development Department. And thank you, Mary, for reading one more of our long titles brought to you by the Community Development Department. As you mentioned, we are looking at a ordinance, a first reading and introduction of an ordinance to change the zoning map. And we're also looking at a site plan review application. And so normally the City Council does not act on site plan review applications, but because this application was submitted for a site plan review and a change of zone, that does mean that any application heard has to be heard by all parties involved in at least one of the applications. And we get that from Reedley Municipal Code section 10-15-10. I won't read all of this, but it does basically say what I just mentioned, that if one body acts on an item, then all of those items have to be acted upon by that governing body. So usually, as mentioned, site plan reviews are just acted upon by staff, and then unless they're appealed, and then it's Planning Commission who takes the final action unless their decision is appealed, and then it goes to City Council for a final decision. And ordinances, as you know, always go through the City Council. But because of this code section, the site plan review changes to a recommendation. So that's why we're hearing the site plan review this evening, as well as an ordinance for the same project. And this project is located on the southeast corner of East Dinuba Avenue and South Buttonwillow Avenue. To the north of this property across Dinuba is the Oaks Mini Mart. To the east of the property is Heritage Storage, a mini storage facility. And then to the south of the property is it's a single family home that's currently being used as a commercial business, that's an industrial type business. And then to the west across Buttonwillow Avenue is the former Frontier Communications building, which is proposed to be a gas station and convenience store, which the council had heard that item last month. The current property, it's about 2.5 acres in size, and it's made up of three parcels. The property is designated as service commercial according to the general plan, which does account for heavy commercial uses or uses that are involving automobile sales, servicing, car washes, those sorts of things. However, the zoning map does show light industrial. These parcels are zoned as light industrial currently. So a change of zone application was submitted to change the zoning from light industrial to commercial service, which stands for CS. And because of the effort to be consistent with the general plan, there was an environmental document already prepared for the general plan. So by becoming consistent with that, there's no new environmental document required as identified in environmental assessment number 2021-14. And this environmental assessment was specifically for the ordinance. Moving on to site plan review application number 2021-13. This is requesting authorization to construct about a 6,300 square foot multi-tenant commercial building, as well as about a 4,400 square foot automobile sales office and showroom building. Also proposed as part of this use is a detached detail shop building that would be ancillary to the automobile sales building. And all proposed buildings have shared ingress and egress and parking, which you can see in the following site plan that's on the screen. You can see that the showroom building is kind of centrally located on the on the site with Kestra parking surrounding it. And then surrounding that, there is parking for the vehicles that would be sold as part of the auto sales building. Those don't necessarily have to be striped, but the site plan does show the area where they can park. And then to the right of the screen, but to the south of the property, is the proposed commercial building with parking in front of that as well. And so this next slide shows a little bit better where the vehicular circulation is. There is a 27-foot dry valve that's provided throughout the whole, wherever the diagonal hatched area is. And as you can see, there's an ingress egress off of Dinuba Avenue, as well as South Button Willow Avenue. And the drive approaches are located as far as possible from the roundabout. And then the non-hatched portion where you see the line of cars, that's kind of where a row of parking can extend for the cars for sale. And it should also be noted as well that that area where the cars are for sale that's closest to the roundabout, there is a curb. So there will be a curb that kind of acts as a wheel stop so that the cars when parked do not encroach into our right-of-way. This is a floor plan of the showroom building where it does offer some more display area for cars, as well as offices, sales areas, restrooms, the typical things you would see in a showroom building. And then this is the elevations. The top image is the view from Button Willow Avenue. So if you're standing on the sidewalk on Button Willow, you're looking at the building, you would see this. And this would be a good time to say that this proposed tenant is Jobber Motors, who currently has a car lot on G Street. So they are expanding to this lot as well. And then the view from Dinuba Avenue would be the side of the showroom building, essentially. Mm-hmm. This is the floor plan for the commercial shell building. There's not a lot to discuss about this, just because we only know that there are potentially six tenant spaces. So the site plan review is just for building the shell building. It is not authorizing or approving any specific uses in this building at this time. So any future uses would still have to comply with the municipal code, still get a business license, and still go through any permits that that may be needed depending on the use. And so the only uses that would be allowed here are the same uses that are allowed in the proposed commercial service zone district. And at the Planning Commission, I believe the intent of the building is to lease out some or all of the spaces to uses that may complement the auto sales building. So some things related to automobiles, you know, parts or something of that nature. But at this time, we don't have any specific uses. And these are the elevations of the commercial shell building from Button Willow Avenue on the top image, and then from the view from Dinuba Avenue on the bottom image. Noted conditions of approval for this project. As I previously mentioned, the future tenants will have to obtain a Reedley business license and comply with our code. And because of the shared access and parking between the two buildings, a cross access agreement will be required to be recorded on the property. The applicant has stated their intent to do a lot line adjustment so that the commercial building is a separate parcel from the auto sales building. But in order to still maintain that access, there does have to be something recorded on the property to make sure that any future owners still leaves both parking and everything open to for both of the uses or buildings, I should say. And then the street improvements on Dinuba Avenue are already there. The applicant will add a drive approach on Dinuba, but there is just curb and gutter on South Button Willow Avenue, a little just south of the roundabout. There's some, but as it extends south, there's not. There's just curb and gutter, so those improvements would be required as well of the applicant. So there's an environmental assessment done for the site plan review application, which determined that the site plan review application is categorically exempt from CEQA under section 15332, because this project is an infill development project. On September 16th, 2021, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on the applications that you are considering this evening, and a public hearing notice for that meeting was duly noticed and published on September 2nd, 2021. And no person spoke in objection to the project at the Planning Commission meeting, and we haven't heard anything else since. The City of Reedley Planning Commission recommended to the City Council adoption of the same entitlements that are before you this evening. And for this meeting, the public hearing notices were published in the Mid-Valley Times on September 30th, and notices were mailed to surrounding property owners on September 30th as well. So with that, as Mayor Fast had read at the beginning here, we have two items, or item A and B. Item A is related to the ordinance, and staff recommends that the City Council hold a public hearing on the introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2021-004, an ordinance which is adopting environmental assessment 2021-14 and approving change of zone application number 2021-5. Item B pertains to the site plan review and the related environmental assessment 2021-15, and staff recommends approval of both of those. That concludes staff's report. We do have the architect and representative of the applicant, Donald Bremseth, here to answer any questions that you may have. And I am also here to answer questions. So thank you.
That's gonna be a busy intersection roundabout.
It really is, it really is. We got an application for the last empty corner as well. So, yep, yep. Mm-hmm. It's a hot spot. Mm-hmm.
Are there any comments from any of our council members on this item? I did have a question on the, what do you call it, where they drive out, driveways. So these are both past the actual roundabout.
Oh yeah, sequence, the drive approaches. Yeah, let me get back to the, if I can. Sorry, Ruthie. And they're right in, right out only because of the median extensions as well. Yeah, it's kind of the same situation as across the street. Yeah.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Ruth.
Okay, so they could go in right and they could go out, and they'd have to go all the way around the roundabout to go back out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any public, well, I have to open the public hearing. Are there any public comments on this particular issue? And I don't know if anybody from Jabber Motors, if anybody wants to speak on that. Okay. Would you please state your name? Yes. An address for our record.
My name is Donald Bremseth. My address is 750 West Alluvial, number 1029, Clovis, California. I'm here this evening representing Mr. A.J. Jabber. Unfortunately, he's on his way overseas to visit his parents, or else he would have been here. Okay. And I want to really thank the planning department. Working with them has been an absolute delight on this development. And so if you have any questions in regards to the showroom or the commercial building or design of the site, I would gladly answer those questions.
The only question I would have, do you have any possible tenants yet? Or how long will this take to build?
Well, I've been asked to go ahead and start the construction documents this week. So I'm planning on having all of the documents on the showroom and the commercial building, which would also include the civil engineering, because we do have issues that we have to address in regards to water retention on the site. Mm-hmm. So I've already put the wheels in motion on both of these projects. So we're looking at starting construction as soon as we can get our building permits, which generally takes the design, the drawings, going through the building department to get our approvals. I would say right around 4 to 5 months, somewhere in there. And one reason, you know, we want to get this going too is so that we can stay under the California Building Code 2019 and not have to worry about the new code coming into effect after the first of the year. And it just makes things a lot easier, and because everything's geared right now to 2019. And not only that, but as Mr. Jabber said, he says, I'm getting tired of paying interest on this property. I want to get my loans in place and start building.
Great. Are there any questions or comments from the council for him?
You know, that's going to be a busy corner because catty corner from your development, you know, that housing that's going in, it's going to really improve that area.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you for your comments and thank you for taking time to be here this evening.
You're welcome.
Are there any other public comments? Okay. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. And what is the council's pleasure? And do we need to take these like separate? Okay. Okay. We'll start with item A.
I'll make a motion to approve.
There is second. Councilman Soleno, did you second it?
Second.
Okay. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Soleno.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Mayor Fass.
Yes. And item B.
Motion.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Tuttle.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Soleno.
Yes.
Mayor Fass.
Yes.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, administrative business, item 16, to approve actions associated with future development of the Reedley Sports Park. Item A, to approve and authorize the city manager to sign a memorandum of understanding between the city of Reedley and the Reedley Parks and Recreation Foundation, allowing the application to the state of California for Proposition 68, 2018 Bond Act Regional Park Grant for $3 million. Exciting. And item B, to adopt resolution number 2021-109, amending the 2021-22 adopted budget, appropriating $2.2 million of currently available funds in the general fund for design and construction of the North Soccer Field phase of the Reedley Sports Park. Okay, Sarah.
All right. You can see I'm smiling. I think I haven't been this excited about an item before. Sarah Reed, Community Services Director, and it is my pleasure to be able to talk on this item this evening. Before I get started, I just kind of want to go back and point out some of the benchmarks that have gotten us to this point. So the city purchased 49 acres back in 2004 at the corner of Dinuba and Zumwalt with the intention of building out a sports park. In 2008, the city went into contract with a design firm and created the master plan for this property. In 2009, the first 11 acres went under construction is what we have developed today. In 2016, the city went into contract again with the original firm to make some adjustments to the master plan. There were a couple of things that drove that. One, Kings Canyon built this pool on the high school property. And so there wasn't this desperate need to have a pool out at the sports park any longer. We had a series of public meetings, and what really came to light was the love for soccer in this community and the lack of lighted open space that we have available. Besides the Spork Park, the only other lighted space is in Camacho Park. So what is before you is what is our adopted site map for the sports park. The community, the council, the staff, the Community Services Commission have all had a high priority of wanting to see some more development at the sports park. So I am excited to be able to talk on two different opportunities that we have before us tonight. Unfortunately, over the last few years, a lot of the grants, really all of the grants that have come forward through the park bond that was passed in 2018, this property did not qualify for. Through conversations that city staff had with the state, they said that a regional park grant would be coming out and we would be competitive for that. So staff has been waiting, and a year and a half later, we are before you talking about the grants in the hope that we can submit this to have some further development out there. Did it get turned off? Let me see. I might need to turn it back on. Oh, thank you, Ruthie. So just to give a point of reference to the council, because I am talking about two different phases. There is the North soccer phase and the mixed sports phase. Sorry, my tongue gets tied as I say all of this. So first I'm going to talk about the mixed sports phase. So the regional park grant does not require a match and has a maximum award of $3 million. When the grant criteria came out, staff had to evaluate what is the most competitive phase to go after for this grant and decided on the mixed sports phase. So within that phase is 4 basketball courts, 3 tennis courts, 4 volleyball courts, stadium lighting, a small picnic area, parking lot, and restroom. And that is what I have on the screen. City agencies do not qualify to be the lead for this grant, and the state had warned us about this. So conversations had already started with the Parks and Recreation Foundation, who is a nonprofit and can be the lead agency in this grant. The Parks and Recreation Foundation was established in 2003 with the purpose to support sports and recreation facilities in Reedley. The city and the foundation have partnered before on projects, so this is not new. These include the shade structure that is currently out at the sports park over the playground area, the shade structures that you see that are recently put in Luke Trimble Park, and then also the future climbing apparatus that is going in Luke Trimble Park within the next couple of months. Those were all joint projects with the foundation. This is a competitive grant, so I do want to share this. This is not guaranteed dollars. The grant application has 10 different sections that receive points for the full final total score. A heavy emphasis is put on community input, which is the reason for the public meetings and the surveys that we had back in June and July, and those were jointly put on by the city and the foundation. We held one meeting on Zoom and the other one in person. Both received good participation and brought to light the desire to see some pickleball courts in Reedley. We also sent out a simple survey to get a pulse on what kind of amenities the community would like to see out in this phase. We received over 800 responses, which just told us the community is just desiring to see development out there. All three means that we received community feedback for supported the phase that I am bringing forward to you tonight, which I am proposing a possible change to what has been adopted. Staff feels that this is the most competitive project that we can bring forward, knowing that the state puts a heavy emphasis on really building what the community would like to see. What is being proposed is 2 basketball courts, 2 tennis courts, 8 pickleball courts, a picnic area, stadium lighting, restroom, and parking lot. The grant also puts a heavy emphasis on community partners. I am proud to say that Sierra Kings Healthcare District has committed $10,000 to this project if we are awarded, the Reedley Pickleball Club, $500, and the desire to teach anyone to play pickleball who would like to learn. The Reedley Commission on Aging, Inc., which is the nonprofit organization that services our seniors, they are in support of helping with fundraising and anything that will keep seniors active. Tree Fresno has also committed to donate all the trees that will go in this phase and help us with tree planting events. And all of this is an important piece of putting together the strongest grant application that we can.
The MOU before the council tonight is really a requirement of the grant. Since the foundation is the lead agency, but the city owns the property and will be responsible for the ongoing maintenance, the MOU outlines those responsibilities and the foundation's ability to submit the grant for the sports park. So now we're going to talk about the North Soccer Fields phase. Due to COVID-19, we are in unprecedented times as a city. The city tax revenue has come in higher than anticipated, which is allowing for the opportunity to consider one-time project funding. Staff understands what a high priority the sports park is to the city council in this community, and would like to recommend to the council to consider the funding for this North Soccer Fields phase. So I'm going to show you where it's at. The North Soccer is right next to what is already developed. It would be very similar to what is already out there. It would finish off the overflow parking lot. It would provide more lighted space with the ability to host 2 youth soccer games. And there is also a picnic area designated for this space. Through the public meeting, staff also heard the need for baseball and softball, really the need for all of our sports out at the sports park. And so staff would like to recommend with this project that there is a bid add-on, which would bring the infrastructure to the portion of the sports park for the future of the baseball and softball phase. So even though there may not be enough dollars to do both of these projects, we definitely want to set it up for a future project. Absolutely.
Is there any way, I know at the, on this first section, they have baseball backstops in the corners?
Correct.
Is there a way to possibly do that also to use this as a baseball practice field?
We can actually add that as a bid add-on and see what the costs come in at. We're requesting $2.2 million to do the design and construction of this project. So really at the time we go out to bid and what things come back at, but that definitely can be a consideration because during the baseball season, when it's still dark out, they absolutely use that other phase for practice space.
I just thought it'd be a nice multi-use, make it more multi-use.
Mm-hmm. You know, Babe Ruth was the one that was really struggling for space. Since then, I know that the high school is ready to welcome them back on their JV field. Unfortunately, practice fields like that doesn't really service them just because of how hard they hit and everything. For that kind of space, you're going to see more of our little league and our city leagues.
Right. That's what I was
thinking. I have a question. So what's happening to the volleyball courts?
So what we have seen are people are popping up volleyball courts in the park. For us to be able to do some of these other amenities, there had to be some give and take. And staff just felt like, and what we heard from the community, we brought forward to the Community Services Commission to leave that as more open space so that people could pop up volleyball courts. Originally, there was a talk about sand volleyball courts. There's a lot of maintenance concern with that and being able to keep them filled and the sand getting everywhere. So then we talked about maybe designated space for grass volleyball, but kind of seeing, I know people pop up volleyball net here, they do it in Mueller Park. Having that open space would allow it to be a little more multi-use.
But yet you're putting 8 pickleball courts? That's a lot. You're taking from something and it's 8, do you need 8?
So 8 pickleball courts, this is a regional grant and part of that is having a regional attraction. And so as we work through the public meetings, recognizing that there's not a lot of opportunity for pickleball in our region, especially designated courts. For us to be able to do any kind of tournament or larger type of play, you would have to have a minimum of 8 courts. There was some discussion about the tennis courts, and I will point out that these would be the only public tennis courts in town, and that's why it was important that they stayed in this plan. Yeah. But pickleball is one of the fastest growing sports. We felt like with the enthusiasm that came forward and kind of listening to the community and knowing that we needed kind of a regional project, we felt like what's proposed in front of you kind of fit that scope the best. There was some discussion at the commission meeting about basketball courts. And we talked through, you know, we have those at Mueller Park, we have those at Citizen Park. So eliminating two of those in this phase, we felt was appropriate just because of the other options that the community has.
Well, I'd still like to see at least one volleyball court there. Because so you're guaranteeing that we're going to have a lot of people with this pickleball courts.
Seeing how busy it is in other communities, Dinuba just put up a couple of pickleball courts. Visalia courts are very heavily used. Fresno doesn't have any designated courts. We have a lot of people within our own community that are going outside to find a place to play pickleball. There's definitely a lot of interest that we feel, and 8 courts seem to be the most appropriate number to go with, not putting too many, but enough to make it enticing for groups to come and hold bigger amounts of play.
And Ms. Betancourt, I will say that when this first came to my attention, I was not a believer. As a matter of fact, I said, what the heck is pickleball? So I had to go out and do some research, and Sarah knows I actually drove out to many of these places. There are pickleball courts in Fresno, by the way. They aren't pickleball courts. Mm-hmm. They're tennis courts that have been converted, and so they can't hold tournaments.
That was going to be my question. Yeah.
And so we will be very unique to the state in that we will be large enough to hold tournaments. And as we were doing our research, as I was doing my research so that I could find out what this was, it is such a fast growing sport around the nation. It's unbelievable. And so I do think kind of that if you build it, they will come. I really strongly believe after doing the research that that 8 are the way to go, and that this particular sport could pull in the tournaments that we've been talking about for so long to bring to that site. I hear you loud and clear though on the volleyball. And so maybe Sarah and I can sit down and put our heads together to see what we can do. Maybe add that as an alternate, talk to the commission, the foundation. So I hear you loud and clear on that. We'll see what we can do.
Because you still have room for it where they were before.
Mm-hmm. Still a spot there.
Yeah, it was on the plans, and then we just eliminated it and wanted to show it as open space because we thought a little soccer team could play there, you know, just different things instead of kind of locking it into volleyball. But if that's something you would like us to look further in, absolutely.
Well, you just have 2, you can eliminate 2.
I didn't understand the comment about 2.
Well, there's on the original one, it has 2 sets of volleyball courts.
4.
Mm-hmm. 4,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. 4, uh-huh, 2 and 2. Two sets of 2, so.
I think that's what Councilwoman is saying is there's room for 2 more.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like one of the not do 4, but do 2. Yes.
Did it make it the grant more regionally acceptable having the 8 pickleball courts? I think that's what I understood. Mm-hmm. Like more points towards our grant.
Correct, because they're looking for regional attractions that are going to bring people in, right? That's what this whole grant is for.
And if there's no other area around here that can hold tournaments or events for pickleball, is that accurate?
Visalia, I believe, holds tournaments, and I'm going to look to Tim to shake his head for me. But kind of like city manager had shared at the meetings, we learned that even Fresno doesn't have designated courts. And so because we had some discussion about, well, what if we did a combination, right? Well, to hold these tournaments, they're looking for designated courts. Mm.
And that's what these would be.
Correct.
Mm. And so hopefully that would bring more people to our area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm getting a text from one of our Kingsburg folks in the room who's saying Kingsburg is actually going to build some pickleball courts, but they're only doing individual. So we still would be the only ones, even if they build those, that would have tournament level courts.
You know, when you talk about a sport like pickleball, that's going to bring in an awful lot of people to the tournaments, which benefits the city and businesses in town. Because if you can, anything that you can do to create tournaments, that's what it builds an awful lot of tax dollars for the city.
Mm-hmm.
You can build small budgets. That's all it's going to do is cost you. Mm-hmm. Something that, like pickleball, is going to return some revenue back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the dog park in the master plan? What phase? It's not this phase.
No, in the current adopted master plan, there isn't a dog park listed.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look, so I'll get back to you if I'm incorrect on that, but it's definitely not in these two phases.
Okay. Yeah, just from the 2016 master plan, there's a note for parking needs with the dog park.
Got it. Okay.
That's what I was looking for. For the soccer field phase. Is it, what's the NCAA soccer field? Like dimensions, yeah?
Yeah, like dimensions. So it's youth fields. So the youth dimensions. The parcel that's done can do like big both? Adult, yes.
Okay.
Where this one would be the size for two youth fields.
That's overlaid from the big field, correct?
Correct.
So we could go both ways.
I don't know if it's big enough to have a big field. I would have to look into that and get back to you.
Hmm.
Oh, the NCAA field.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know what the acronym is, but yeah, for the bigger fields.
Okay. And then you mentioned, Sarah, did you mention putting some money aside to go towards the baseball and softball phase?
So what we're requesting this evening is 2.2, but we would do that as a bid add-on and see if we have the dollars to be able and get the infrastructure to the baseball softball phase.
So I have a question. On your mixed sports page. Can you play pickleball on tennis courts?
You can, but you would have to modify them. The lines aren't the same.
How about on basketball courts?
And the nets aren't the same.
Because I know at the MB Church, they use the basketball goes this way and the pickleball goes this way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that could be maybe be marked somehow on the basketball court then, and then they could put up a net?
So I've seen people pop up pickleball courts in our neighborhood. They put them in cul-de-sacs, they draw the lines with chalks, they put a net up and they play. Okay. So essentially, if you have a piece of cement, you could probably modify it to be able to do pickleball.
Okay. I was just thinking for overflow or practice or mm-hmm. whatever. And the plan for this mixed sports area is to have what part of it lighted?
So we were talking, well, again, it comes back to what the bids come in at, right? If we're awarded it, we're guaranteed so many dollars. So we had talked about doing the stadium lighting for the pickleball stuff and then just area lighting for the basketball and tennis courts.
And how about the soccer fields?
That we would go after stadium lighting similar to what you see out there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there any talk about doing any playground structure like by the soccer field, maybe in between or by that small group picnic area there?
There was not.
Mayor, in the master plan, there is another playground area planned. That's not part of what we're bringing to council tonight, but it is in the master plan on the very southern portion.
On the bottom down there, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the splash park, where the splash is going to go?
Yeah, what the master plan calls for.
I would still like to see two volleyball courts. I love volleyball, but I don't have enough.
Well, I think her reasoning for leaving that open is so that they could put volleyball there, or they could do other things there too. That wouldn't be specific to volleyball, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Sport.
Okay, is there any other council comments? If not, I'll open it up to the public. Is there any public comments on these items? Steve, would you please come to the microphone and state your name and address for our record?
Madam Mayor Fast and council members, my name is Steve Penner. I live at 195 West Ponderosa in Reedley. And I happen to be the president of the Parks and Rec Foundation, and I'm also the, not sure what my title is, the chairperson of the Community Service Commission. So obviously Sarah and I have been talking a lot about these things, and I'm very, very excited to see this day come where we're talking about a real possibility of more things happening at the sports park. And as we all recognize, the development of this sports park has such a benefit for our community, you know, health and wellness, I think public safety. It makes our city a more attractive community for people to live in. It opens up possibilities for larger events to happen in our town, which is a financial benefit to the citizens and the businesses of Reedley. I'd like to speak a bit to the whole pickleball issue. I too was sort of what is this pickleball? And then, you know, I had friends from different places in my life start whispering, pickleball, man, you gotta play pickleball. Some people really pestered me and offered me, you know, they practically dragged me out of bed to go play pickleball. So I'm learning that it is a growing sport. I think our survey and our public meetings reflected some individuals, a number of individuals adamantly for pickleball. It also reflected that there's a lot of other sports that people are much more familiar with than they are with pickleball. So there is something of a learning curve for a community to appreciate this sport, which is somewhere between ping pong and tennis. Can be played by people of all ages. I think what we are trying to do here is get ahead of the curve and look into the future. And we're in going for this grant, which has to have a regional appeal. We are believing and trusting that pickleball will grow, and that by having these set of courts here in our community before other communities get it, we will attract people to our town, and we will attract pickleball enthusiasts. I mean, we heard testimonies at the meetings of people getting out of bed on Saturday mornings, driving to Visalia, and then having to stand in line and wait for a court to be open for them to use. And Tim over here, where is he? There he is. You know, a pickleball ambassador has sung the praises of this sport and is ready to teach you. He'd put on a lesson right now if you'd let him, I think. So I'm very excited about this, and very excited too about the possibility of the north soccer phase being built out, and with the additional parking. We all know that we need better parking out there at the sports park, and this will only help, and it will give more young people and adults as well opportunity to recreate, and it'll all serve for the betterment of our community. And the foundation is very happy to be a partner in the mixed sports phase. And we are very supportive of the North soccer phase. And of course, Community Service Commission has talked about all these things and is very excited about these projects. And I hope I've conveyed to you that I myself am very excited about the possibilities for our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right, you get to come redeem yourself. Would you please state your name and address for our record?
Okay. My name is Tim Fujioka, a lifelong resident here of Reedley. So thank you for letting me speak, Mayor Fast and the council. I am the ambassador of Reedley. I was asked to do a website on Facebook. Within the first hour, we had over 50 members. We're currently at 276 members. What that website does is I list the tournaments I throw. I throw two tournaments a month, and I can't do them here. I do them in Selma and in Hanford. Mm-hmm. Hanford has 10 designated courts, and I have a tournament this Saturday. If you're willing to come, I'll have over 100 people at my tournaments. Those people will be coming to Reedley if these courts are built. And like Sarah said, I will teach people. As the ambassador, that's my job, to promote the sport. And I'm willing to do that and throw tournaments with Sarah here in Reedy to bring money to the city. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
Tim, yes. Have you talked with staff about lighting?
We haven't talked yet. I know Dinuba has lighting, and they're using solar poles. And we went out and looked at it, and they probably need a few more lights. It's not quite bright enough. So, but she said stadium lighting, so that's going to probably be sufficient for us. And one thing I didn't mention, it's part of the police and fire games, pickleball. So I encourage you, law enforcement, to come out and play.
Our chief said they'll take you up on that.
All right.
Right, Chief Isaac?
Anytime, anyway. We don't know, but we'll go.
If I'm hearing Sarah correctly, the pickleball courts is kind of the key to this grant. And I think that's what we've got to focus on, is that in order to stay within that grant zero area to get the best shot at getting those dollars, is to probably stay with the pickleball courts, because you're not going to get the money if you get outside of that realm. And the state is pretty adamant about having a regional project. So
correct. We could still apply, but they're going to look at just basketball courts and volleyball courts, like what the community needs, the city alone.
But how much like square feet is the mixed sports phase? I know it's big, but.
You know, we were going to do that and I didn't have a chance, because within our master plan, it doesn't tell me how many acres each phase is. So I will make it a point to get acreage for these different phases.
Curious. And then it goes much further to the east than mm-hmm. I imagine, because the developed phase in this picture, mm-hmm. that's where the playground and the bathrooms are currently, mm-hmm. And the parking lot. And then there's the big dirt area where the north soccer phase field will go, mm-hmm. and then even farther to the east.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So this would go to the end of the property to the east, and it would finish off all of Dinuba if we were to do both of them, which would be nice, sidewalk all the way down. And
there's a driveway out to Dinuba Avenue at the end of that? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes.
Okay.
And I imagine
that's nice too.
The trail will tie into somewhere there.
Yeah, correct. I was just going to mention, Rob is working on that ATP grant, or rather we received the ATP grant because of Rob's diligence and Mary Lou's. And so we'll tie these things together so that the trail does go through there. It actually is on our master plan, the trail mm-hmm. along Traver Creek, and then look through the ATP grant, as well as a potential traffic study we've been talking about of how that trail crosses over such a busy street there. So our hope is to tie all these things together.
Yeah, because Saturday we ran on dirt. And Chief, if you're going to go play pickleball, then you better run next year.
However, those courts, they're littler. You don't have to run so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he still has to pivot and move.
Steve had another comment, if that's okay.
The mention of the parkway, I can't resist pointing out that in the survey we took with over 800 respondents, the strongest support for any of our activities in this vicinity was for our trail. Overwhelming awesome. Public support for the continuing development of the Reedley Parkway.
I concur.
Okay. No, Council, I feel like with Steve and a couple of other commissioners here, I do want to just mention this is exciting for staff to finally bring forward to the council real dollars, a real plan, a real opportunity, because what we have before you today is really $5 million worth of sports park investment, $2.2 million of which is in hand and we can move it forward. It almost feels unreal to me because we've been talking about this for 10 years. And I just want to say, because I feel like she's looking down on above, Pam Melville was such a driver. She would be in my office monthly talking about sports park, sports park, sports park. And so I wish we could have gotten this done while she was still with us, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention her because she pushed so hard to see recreational amenities in Reedley. So
you're very right. Just a comment to maybe talk a little bit more about the volleyball courts. Is that something we could maybe add at some point in the future too, if we wanted to?
Absolutely.
Since there is area for at least two courts.
Mm-hmm. We could. And when I went and talked to Sierra Kings Health District, they started asking me about shade covers and different things and just really perked their interest with what we're doing out at the sports park. So the shade structure that's currently over the playground was an afterthought. If you remember, there wasn't enough money in that project to get it done. And then the foundation worked with the Lions Club to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely can go back and enhance and improve things that we do.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay. No comment? Looking at you. Okay. Okay, so what is the council's pleasure? I'm excited.
Do we need to take these one at a time or both at the same time?
You do need to take them individually because one is a grant and one is pure construction.
A motion on A.
Second.
Call for the question.
Yes.
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 Excitedly, yes. Okay, thank you, Steve, for helping to put this all together. And item B, take a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Second.
Call for the question.
Yes.
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 Yes, with the condition that we will look at a volleyball court in the future.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And thank you all of you who worked so hard to help to put this project together and put your heads together to dream of getting some more money for that sports park. I drive by there often and I concur with you, Steve. We've had lots of those conversations of how do we get some funding? So we're here. So, item 17 is a workshop, an update regarding the homeless efforts in Reedley. I was going to say chief, but I don't know.
I think they're huddling up really quick, but this presentation will be done by Commander Mark Ettinger and Sergeant Jesus Rivera. Commander Ettinger oversees our homeless task force and Sergeant Rivera supervises that task force. So they'll be giving you an update on where we're at today.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of council. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you tonight. Just wanted to give an update currently where we're at and what we've seen and what we've been seeing with our homeless population in Reedley. I will say, and Chief and I have talked about this several times over the last probably year and a half, and also with the city manager, that we really have not seen an increase or an influx, if you will, of homeless people in Reedley through the pandemic. The population has pretty much stayed the same, and we'll get into the, Ruthie, if you can go to the next slide, please. Get into the numbers a little bit, and this is a very broad overview, but if you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have said our homeless population in Reedley was about 28 to 30. And currently our estimate is currently still 28. Breakdown of population, male to female ratio is 78% male, 22% female. And we have six, I'll call them primary encampment sites in and around the city. There's a map on the next page, and we'll get there in a second, that will kind of show where things are located. But we primarily see these homeless encampment sites on the outskirts of town. I know that people often see them throughout town during the day, you know, frequenting certain locations and business areas. But we do not see them primarily bedding down or sleeping in those areas. Sergeant Rivera, who's going to get up here in a second, has done some recent surveying and contacting directly with our homeless population with his team. We're averaging about 4 to 5 per site. There are a few where there's only one or two. Some people like to stay alone. But if you were to go out and talk to most of these people, as we talk to them fairly often, most of them are longtime Reedley area residents. They either have family here, they've grown up here, they know Reedley is home. And so although we continue to offer weekly services, in fact, Poverello House, at the beginning of the pandemic, started coming out and offering food, bringing their food truck out weekly. I didn't even know this, but they have continued weekly to come out here. They changed locations a little bit, but weekly, on a weekly basis, and our population knows this, but those services are offered continuously again and again. Most don't want to leave Reedley. And that's really a driving reason behind a lot of their, I think, their decision-making. So with that, and I'm going to turn this over to Sergeant Rivera quickly, and then I'll come back at the end and talk about a few countywide things. And then we'll answer questions at the end.
I'm going to start off by saying good morning, members of the council. It's morning. I'm starting my shift, and I'll be on for the rest of the night. Members of the council, Madam Mayor Fast.
And he's smiling.
I got a lot of rest while you all were working. What we have for you here is some of the city hotspots, and we broke them down with official orders to vacate with the green dots. Our primary focus now with the orders to vacate are the entry points into the city, which would be Manning Avenue at the bridge over by the Wake House, and then what everybody is commonly known as the west of the Jack in the Box, which would be the Strawberry Hut, and working our way towards the rear of Jack in the Box and the 7-Eleven on Manning, on I Street. The current hotspots are all the yellow dots that you see before you. You'll see that they're strewn throughout the city and some out in the county. And we'll touch on a short basis with a little bit of the outside resources that we are using to assist us with the yellow spots, the hotspots that are out of the city. We're currently working on a planned cleanup. We have a few services that we have now acquired, reaching out through the Reedley Community College. But those are also along the river and the entry points in the city, which would be the bridge, the Manning Bridge, and the Olson Bridge, both on both sides of the river, both the east and the west side. Can we change over, Ruthie? So some of the efforts, the cleanup efforts that we have, we're using the Fresno County Sheriff's Department. They also have a task force. I've just recently reached out to the supervisor of their unit, and he has offered to bring out their county health department, which would do a screening of the encampment site. So what they'll do is they'll come and they'll screen and remove of any biohazard materials, such as any narcotics paraphernalia, syringes, anything that will pose a danger to the cleanup crew. We've reached out to Reedley College, their Club Green. They have students that are in need of expending some hours. So once the county health department has allowed us to screen and remove some of the biohazard issues, the students from the college will come out and assist us with some of the picking up and the cleaning of these areas. obviously with the assistance of our local code enforcement and our Kingsview Mental Health. Kingsview Mental Health has come out with us in the past. And as we speak with the members of the homelessness, we're always offering them additional services so they can try to vamp and get themselves out of the situation that they're in. These are updated pictures of what you see here. This is under the Manning Bridge. As you can see, it's not a big encampment. Probably for you folks, it'd be an eyesore right now at this point. But once you start seeing some of the encampments and how big they can get, this here is what I would call a light to a medium weight encampment. Not something that would take a long time to clean, but this is what we're working with on the county health department to come out and do a screening so we can get this cleaned up. On the far right is an image that we've helped a female already, a woman. She was here from Porterville. She was suffering a little bit from substance abuse and mental health. We reached out to the women's shelter in Fresno. She was more than willing to take the resources, and we've assisted her in getting her relocated. These are images from a recent cleanup that we've done. I shouldn't say recent. It was last year, right? A couple years ago, 2019. This was also on the east side of the river, off of the Manning Bridge. They, again, with the assistance of the county, they were able to bring in light, heavy equipment and a team to come out and remove some of the homeless encampment paraphernalia and materials that were impeding in the area.
I will chime in because that cleanup was very important at the time we did it. That was in river flow area, and we were about to have river releases. In these encampments, unfortunately, there are a lot of human feces, drug paraphernalia, drug waste, all sorts of things that you don't want floating down a river. So when that cleanup occurred, we were very fortunate that Sergeant Rivera, his predecessor of the Homeless Task Force, Sergeant Kincaid, had really structured a good relationship with, I think Fish and Game was involved in that. I think the county was involved in that, multiple partners. And they came in very quickly when we called them to say the river's about to start flowing. So some of these, we have gotten calls from some residents who are upset when we do these homeless cleanups, but I think there may be a misunderstanding as to what we're doing. You know, we really are trying to remove the biohazards and the health hazards that are down in some of these.
Thank you, City Manager. I just want to clarify something on the map. We talked about, or there was a, the green dots on the map as far as orders to vacate. So if you look at those, the official orders to vacate are actually on private property. That's none of those green dots are on city property. They might be sitting on there on the map, but we can only enforce an official order to vacate on private property, and that's from property owners' permission, basically to serve them with a no trespass warning. Some of the properties where the blue dots are at currently are on city property, and so that's a little bit different than an order to vacate on private property. That, you know, if you recall, the governor placed a moratorium on the public camping enforcement. But a lot of what we're seeing around the river, as the city manager mentioned, with water, there are some fish and game codes that we can use to enforce some of the trash and the litter that's being done down near the river areas. And so that's what we're going to use to focus on for some of these plant cleanups as we go forward. I just wanted to clarify on the official orders to vacate. Now, that doesn't mean that our officers, when we get called for loitering or disturbing the peace or bothering businesses, that we're not basically ordering those people to leave the location and they're no longer allowed to loiter based on their activities. In fact, I talked to a business owner today who's been having some issues with repetitive disturbances by homeless people or supposed homeless people. And so I know that many of you probably talk to a lot of your constituents and maybe hear stories of loitering and just bothering people in general. And so I want everyone to know that we're here to protect our businesses, and we're going to do everything we can within our power to make sure that they can operate and for the patrons to be able to feel comfortable and safe, even to go places at night. That's always the main focus of our patrol officers. What Sergeant Rivera and his team do are extracurricular and above what we do on a daily basis, what the expectation is. So, and I just lastly, I wanted to touch on, if some of you may recall, and if not, I attached it at the end. It's not on the PowerPoint, and I didn't want to read through the entire thing, but the Fresno County Board of Supervisors in 2019 adopted their street to home priorities, which is a homeless task force that's countywide. City manager is actually a representative on that task force, as well as the mayor of Fresno, I believe, Jerry Dyer, and many others. And so the resolution is attached here just for your reading. And then there also the priorities that they outlined in that resolution as far as who the participants are, some of what the goals are, which is finding permanent homes and permanent locations and permanent solutions for some of these homeless people. So with that, I'm going to end the presentation. We'll entertain any questions that you may have.
You're developing your questions. I do just want to point out, because we do have some folks listening over Zoom, and if anybody goes back to review this presentation on our archive, what we're talking about when we talk homelessness are the chronic homeless. These are folks who have either mental health or substance abuse issues. I want to be clear with our public, we've been very successful with what I would call emergency homelessness. When people come to us, they have just lost their housing, they've lost their job, something like that. We've really been successful in getting them into either the Faith House or other shelters, other housing opportunities. So we really are not talking about people that are easily housed. We're talking about people who are choosing to have this lifestyle, or because of their mental health or substance abuse issues, this is where they've ended up. Over the course of the pandemic, we were successful in getting about 10 of our homeless folks into shelters, and roughly 5 of those have returned because Reedley is their home, they've said. So you can tell by that example, it's very difficult. This is not a one size fits all. In fact, this is a very individualized approach that we will have to take to be successful with the homeless population in terms of getting them out of the situation that they're in.
Commander, what's the process for the official orders to vacate for the private property owner, right? And then also, is it common that maybe some of the common encampments are close to county or city land, but then also private land perhaps?
Yeah, so the process for the orders to vacate, and basically anyone with private property has the right to request from us to issue a formal no trespass warning. And so we have a templated format that we've developed over the last few years that coincides with some of the laws that allows the property owner to sign that. And then when we find somebody violating that, or even have set up camp on someone's property, we formally issue them a notice, a signed notice that's got the address and location and all of that. That's entered into the computer system or our CAD system. And so anytime subsequently that an officer may go out and contact that person and may not have knowledge that they were served before, we can go ahead and have that at our fingertips and basically make an arrest if we need to at that point for failure to abide by the notice. Unfortunately, a lot of times the property owners, and I know this happened probably side subject, but with people that were renting homes through the pandemic, it's very hard. We heard a lot of stories. It's hard to get people off your property. And then you're stuck with the bill of the cleanup if things are damaged. That's kind of the case also with private property, is even though these encampments may be set up on private property, we'll assist them in any way possible. But a lot of times those property owners incur some cost with that at no fault of their own. And so we try to stay on these sites as quickly and as often as we can to keep it from growing into a bigger problem. And if I can ask, I know we're not in a public comment section of the meeting, but if I can ask council, we do have one of our business owners here tonight that came, Mrs. Gill. If you would be willing to allow her to speak a little bit on this topic.
Sure.
Okay. Mrs. Gill, would you like to come? Yeah, please.
We're recording the presentation, so you have to speak in the microphone. Could I have your name and address for our record, please?
My name is Jaspreet Shergill, and my business is located at 585 I Street in Reedley, and I own the Baskin Robbins and the Subways in town. So I have been in touch with the Reedley Police Department. I'd like to thank them for their support and their help. They have been very supportive this past week. Around 7 to 10 days ago, I had an issue. Well, I have had issues for a couple of years now, but most recently, I'll talk about the issues that I have had. I've had homeless men coming into my store during busy hours in the evening. We have families present, small children. And they come in, they proceed to yell profanity at the wall, not at my employees. And, you know, they create disturbance. It's not a nice environment for the families of Reedley to go and celebrate and to, you know, have some ice cream. My employees are generally teenagers, 18, 19-year-old girls, females. It is very scary for them to be in an environment like that. On one occasion, the girls were talking amongst themselves, you know, what do we do about this situation? This guy is in here. He's screaming at the wall. There are families, small children in here. What do we do? Should we call the police? The homeless person turned around and said, you know, if you don't call the police, if you call them, I'll come back with my gun and I'll shoot you. And these are the things that my employees are being subjected to. So, you know, they notified me after the incident had taken place the next day because they were too scared to do anything on the day. And they said, hey, look, we've formally told you, we've put it in writing that we are not comfortable working here. We need a safe environment to work in. And, you know, as an employer, it's my responsibility to provide a safe environment for my customers as well as my employees. And I just need some help to be able to do that. Since then, I have spoken to the officers here. They have increased patrols, so I haven't had an issue in the past few days over the weekend. But before that, you know, I've had feces on my wall. People have been urinating around my store. I've had my windows broken. There are syringes outside. There is trash outside on a daily basis. You know, about 6 months ago, one of the homeless people had realized which breaker belonged to my store. He flicked the breaker and I had no electricity for an hour. And, you know, we sell ice cream. You know, there's a danger of everything melting. Can you imagine if they did that in the middle of the night and nobody was there to know, you know, that the electricity had gone out? I'd come in the morning and everything would be melted. So these are the fears that I have, you know, operating in Reedley. I would like to say that, you know, moving to this country, Reedley is the only place that I really lived. And I've been here for many, many years, 16 years. And I love Reedley. Reedley is a nice, small, friendly town. Everybody kind of knows everybody. And I just want that to continue. I want my customers to continue to enjoy, you know, visiting my store and for it to be a nice, safe place to live. Yeah, and to be able to celebrate something because there's not many places to go in Reedley to celebrate. So you know, these are very real issues. I understand the police department are doing what they can. And I really do appreciate that. I appreciate the support. But we are still experiencing these issues on a weekly basis. And to have to clean up after that, you know, well, my employees are not going to do it, are they? So thank you very much for your time.
Is it, do you know, is it the same, like the usual suspects, or is it?
Don't it's know, the same it? Usual suspects. The guy who broke our window, we saw him on security camera. He was spoken to by the police. I think, was he arrested? I can't remember. I think he was. And then the next day he was out there sitting on my benches smoking. And as I go there every day, sometimes I'm there late at night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, because I have things that I need to do. I need to squeeze everything into my day. I feel scared personally. I have the key to the store. They know I'm the owner. I'm there every single day. And I'm scared. And my employees are scared. When they leave at 10 o'clock, they call their family members to watch them get into their cars. They are spoken to inappropriately by the homeless people. They're harassed. One of the girls is harassed by them. He stands outside. He sits outside on the tables for hours waiting for her to come out. So it's a sad situation. I understand the count is only 28 in Reedley, and the situation may not be that serious. But I'm just here to speak on behalf of the other business owners in my plaza. Not all of them have time to come here and to voice their concerns, but the concerns are real.
Well, thank you for your comments. And I know our police department is trying to do whatever they can to help you and to keep your business and that area safe.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Council, I'm going to speak for the chief and the department here in saying that this is an incredibly frustrating situation for us. And this is, by the way, is nationwide because of the Supreme Court's non-ruling, actually, on an Idaho case that came out of an appeals court, and the Supreme Court refused to hear it. And based on that case, I'm sorry, I think it was Iowa, not Idaho. Based on that case, we are not able to move homeless off public spaces. We're not able to do certain things. California made it even more stringent than federally. And so if we are going to do a cleanup, for instance, we have to log everything that we take. So consider a piece of clothing that may be stinky and have some feces, and we have to keep it for 90 days. We have to log it because it's somebody's personal, personal effects. There's a case out of Fresno. Some of you know that at the time I was working with the city of Fresno and we did this first homeless encampment cleanup, ended up being sued by the ACLU. It was $1 million lawsuit that the city of Fresno had to pay out because they threw away, feces filled mattresses and all of this stuff. It's very frustrating. And my heart goes out to the business owners because I think a lot of folks in Reedley, the business owners of the community, do not realize the restraint that has been put on the city by both the state and the federal government. It doesn't mean we can't do something. As a matter of fact, I think we have arrested just about every single one of our homeless folk at some point in time to send a message to them that their behavior is not acceptable. Sometimes they make it back to Reedley before we do after booking them. It's a challenging situation. So I don't want to make light and make excuses, but we haven't found the solution yet that works for us.
Thank you for that, City Manager. As you can tell, this is largely a big group effort. The last slide in your packet has a lot of partner agencies listed on there, including Reedley College, who has some volunteers that want to help. I also want to thank Fire Chief and Russ Robertson for both of your department's help with Public Works and a lot of times in our parks where items may be left, trash. Code enforcement with Gavino has been a great help for our people too. You know, and unfortunately, Mrs. Gill, you mentioned this on him being arrested for breaking a window. Unfortunately, arrest doesn't mean what it used to. And oftentimes those people are back to Reedley before our officers are, if they're even taken to Fresno at all. And so a lot of times nowadays arrest means getting a piece of paper and walking out the back door. And so I just wanna let council know that we've instructed and continue to instruct our officers to make sure that we make regular contact with this homeless population. So they know that we're watching. So they know that we care what's going on. And like I said, we continue to offer services and we will continue to offer those services. But it is definitely a group effort.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the work that you do. I know it's very
frustrating,
very hard, but yet they're human beings too. And we want to make sure that we're compassionate and trying to give them opportunities to change.
Thank pretty you. Tough to do your job with one hand tied behind your back.
Well, we just have to think forward and come up with ways that solutions that will work. Exactly. Sometimes that takes a while to figure out what those solutions are and continue to move forward.
And I think that's where the last slide becomes very important. And that is, it's not Reedley alone anymore, just saying, help, we don't have solutions and we're too small to fund solutions. It's now the board and Fresno County, Fresno City, and now a task force that will include the rural cities that will be coming up with solutions. There's a lot of new data that maybe we didn't understand about chronic homeless populations before. You know, I mentioned the anecdote about the homeless folks who came back to Reedley because this is their home. That tells us we need to solve the problem in each of the locations where we have chronic homeless, because simply sending them off to the Poverello House is not going to be a long-term solution for them. You know, what we've also learned over the years is if we move the homeless around too much, they can't get the services like the routine medical care, the therapy, their medicines that we can provide them that help them get out of that situation. So it's a nuanced approach in each individual situation. And I think as we see this task force getting going, we may have more solutions for our community.
I think until you see the liability run uphill a little more is when you're going to see the actual, because you're going to have business owners that's going to start getting together, forming coalitions to go after the states and the laws that they've made regarding some of this, because a lot of these folks don't need to be on the street. They need to be getting mental help, mm-hmm. because that's a major issue. Turning them out the door and giving them a few bills to take doesn't answer the question, because they don't take their meds anyway. Mm-hmm. They need to be in a controlled environment until that liability runs uphill to where the buck stops at the big guy. I don't think you're going to, your task force is not going to have any teeth. And that's what's got to happen. You're going to have to see the business people, homeowners, people, private citizens are going to have to start voicing their opinion to the states and the feds over this major issue that's nationwide. Mm-hmm. It's something that it's draining our resources for our citizens in our own community, let alone damaging the business owners and their businesses.
It amazed me when I was at the League of California Cities conference with Councilmember Tuttle 2 weeks ago, that the homeless situation that is out of control is smack dab in front of our legislators every day, because all around the Capitol were the encampments.
It's awful.
So I'm wondering why we can see it and they can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was up there and I watched the homeless walk with the assemblymen across the street. So it's kind of strange.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. The next couple of items are just receive information and reports from the Planning Commission, the Community Services Commission, and the Airport Commission. And so I'll go now to council reports. And I'll start with Councilman Beck.
I've had the opportunity to be in the parade this weekend with the rest of the council. It was nice to see all of us there at the same place and have a good ride, and got the chance to see my granddaughter in the band. So enjoyed that. Plus today, I like that $2.8 million check. So down to Crooked Hollow. Spend it wisely, Russ. That's all I have there.
Okay. Councilman Tuttle?
Yeah, that big $2.8 million check, I think, allows us to get that phase done at the park, which is awesome. Was it last week? I attended the opening ceremony for the big Fresno Fair. That was interesting. The run was awesome. I got a couple good compliments about Madison. And I don't know if this is your first year, like kind of leading it or heading it, but I got two different people that that are kind of connected that had good comments about that. Sounded like the there's a lot of people that signed up as well, which is awesome. And I wasn't at the fiesta very long, but long enough to see that at the very least, it seemed like it felt anyways like a regular fiesta. Mm-hmm. I think the booths and the parade entry floats were a little down, but the run registrants were way up, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so that I think that's a little bit, it shows a little evidence, I think, of the last year and a half, 2 years with COVID, right? People want to get out, but businesses are still maybe a little bit struggling. But it was great. It was fun to be there, and that's all I have. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Betancourt?
Yeah, I also enjoyed the parade. The day was beautiful. Mm-hmm. We were very blessed with nice weather. And also grateful for Senator Cortado for that, what she's doing for us. She's advocating for our little towns, and I appreciate that. That's it.
Okay. Councilman Solano?
Well, if I say anything, it'll be repeated what everybody else said. So.
Say it anyway.
She enjoyed it at the airport. It's too bad that they had to shut it down because of the smoke. Mm-hmm. And while some people were doing, they're not going to get a ride. Mm-hmm. So that was too bad. Of course, the parade was nice, seeing a lot of people. And then today, like everybody said, it was even that check. It's no smile at the same time. That's all I have.
Right. Thank you. Okay, and I too attended the press conference this morning with Senator Hurtado and Assemblyman Arambula, and we're very, very thankful for their support. And I talked a little bit with Melissa afterwards, and she said, you know, I took this job because I live not far from here, and I'm wanting to serve our community and the people that are in my district. So she's working really hard. It's an uphill battle because she's got Sacramento, San Francisco, LA, and San Diego to vie for money, and that's often hard to get. So we're very thankful for her due diligence to push to remember the valley. Also attended the fiesta and went Friday night for the evening and had dinner, and that was fun. It was nice to have the nice music that they put together. And then Saturday for the fiesta, I want to thank Chief Isaac for driving the fire truck and Ruthie for getting everything ready and making sure we all were there. And just congrats to our pilots, Mr. Enns and Beckenhauer, for leading that parade. And also attended the Reedley High School homecoming game on Friday night and got to watch the marching band, which years ago I got to be a part of for 1 year. So that was fun. That's kind of my soft spot. Also attended the Reedley Historical Society. They had their annual dinner last Thursday. And Jim Spitz was the speaker. And I don't know if you guys remember, but we each got a book. The name of it was Treasures, that big thick book that was laying on our dais. Thank you, Ms. Ziba, for those. But he shared a little bit of the history of where he got his information and how he put this all together. And he said it started out to be a pamphlet. And he said, my pamphlet turned into a monster. But if you haven't had a chance to read it, you need to read through it. And just, if nothing else, look at the pictures, because the pictures are really awesome. And he did a lot of research to put that all together. And if you want a book, you can buy it at the historical museum downtown. And also attended the airport open house. And I talked to a couple of the pilots, and the reason they stopped flying was that once they got up in the air, nobody could see anything except smoke. Mm-hmm. So with the R Mountain right there, he said it wasn't real safe to be unless you could fly with instruments. So that was their concern. But they'll do it again next year. And hopefully we won't have that air like we did. But I thought it was a successful day. And somehow you guys always get really good speakers. And I really enjoyed the gal that we had that day. Also attended the Live After Five Art Hop downtown on October the 1st. And that's kind of become an annual event. They quit doing that. The chamber did, I think, last year. But they brought it back again. And it was a successful evening. There were a lot of people downtown eating and enjoying good music and just a fun evening. Also attended our COG Council of Governments meeting and our Fresno Rural Transit Authority meeting, and just had a couple of things on that. So I remember our city manager speaking about this SB 743 back years ago in 2013 that changed the way changed the level of service to be vehicle miles traveled. And so our area is trying to put together some planning funding to do a study on somehow mitigating this particular item of the code. So they authorized $200,000 to spend on this vehicle miles traveled mitigation study. So that'll be something that'll be coming back someday, probably in another year or so, to give us some help, hopefully. Highway 41. I don't know how many of you travel south through the Hanford-Lemoore area, but the 41 Expressway from Elkhorn to Excelsior is only a two-lane road, and Caltrans is asking the state to give them $23 million to help to make that a four-lane road, because there are a lot of accidents out there on a weekly basis, and usually they're fatal accidents because they're head-on collisions. So this is something they're working to with Caltrans to get funding for, and then the Measure C would match that funding. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Another thing that the COG is doing is they recommended to approve a contract with HDR and Calthorpe for a valley-wide housing scenario analysis. And this is for a eight county, the total valley area. And they authorized $325,000 to do this. And this is a group effort of all of those counties. So hopefully in a year or so, we'll be able to get access to the information that they've put together on a lot of the housing issues and the changes in the laws that have come before us in the area of housing. It's very confusing as I see it, and I'm sure you guys as staff is kind of crazy. Okay, and then the Fresno County Rural Transit Authority, they applied for some Senate Bill 1 funding to construct a bus maintenance and fuel yard facility in Selma. And that's the agency that supplies the public transit that we have that comes through Reedley and serves Reedley. So that will bring it closer into Selma rather than going to Fresno for many of those services. The Rural Transit Authority was awarded a grant through Measure C, the new technology program, to purchase four new 23-foot electric buses, and also purchase UV germicide disinfectant lights to be used in our rural transit service in all of our buses that go around Fresno County. So they're trying to do what they can to clean every evening and make sure that they're safe for the people that that go on that transit. And I had a question, and maybe this can be directed to Sarah, I'm not sure. The Luke Tremble Park, is that, I know that the water feature is now closed because it's the end of the water season, but is that park still open during the day, or is it not available for people to come to? Oh, so on that corner. Yeah.
Open, it will be closed pretty soon because we're going to start with the ADA pathway to the playground area. And then as soon as that gets in, then we're going to put in the play structure and the rubber surface.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But I'll confirm.
Okay. I just think it's important to keep that facility open and available to just have picnics. And I know, and I hopefully the water features don't have to be blocked off, but they could just be left there and they just won't be used. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's all I have. Nicole, do you have staff reports?
Yes, Mayor, a few things. Ruthie's going to hand out the latest COVID stats. The good news is we do see declining numbers in Fresno County. And in fact, we see more hospital bed availability again with very few, actually down to minimal numbers of ICU patients with suspected COVID. So those numbers, you'll see the trend line continues to go down in Fresno County, and that's good news. On the other hand, the not so good news, the governor finished vetoing or signing all that he would veto or sign. So that deadline was this weekend. In total, out of the 945 or 85 bills that were passed, he did sign over 700 of them into law. So obviously staff is busy. We're reviewing those laws that do impact us. Over 100 or so have some sort of housing or tangent to housing. And so poor Rob is busy as well. I wonder how much our community realizes that out of 700 bills, we have to really pay attention as to how many impact us and what changes will be made. Some of the interesting ones that haven't been talked about yet, and I think they soon will be, there was a 12.5% tax put on all e-cigarettes and vape products. And that's to help minimize youth usage by making it expensive and by making it on parity rather with cigarette taxes. The other thing he did sign that will be of interest to us, given that Parlier's cannabis dispensary just opened last week, is that no cannabis billboards will be allowed in the state of California. So that's actually a good thing because we don't want our youth seeing the advertising in the billboards. So just a couple of interesting things. And as we finish going through the bills, if there are impacts to the city, I'll certainly let you know. For those of you who worked with the EDC, or even he's sort of local, unfortunately, I did find out today from the EDC that Robert Wiebe, who is our longtime controller and actually has a farm just outside of Reedley, he passed away. So if you knew Robert, unfortunately, he did not survive his bout with pancreatic cancer. So a sad day for EDC folks and for us. He did help us with the opportunity zones that were put in place and even came out and helped us with a couple businesses, talk to them about the opportunity zone. So it is sad for us to see somebody with that level of knowledge and expertise and intelligence pass away. So do we have any staff with any updates?
Good evening again. Just wanted to provide council a brief update pertaining to our downtown parking lot rehabilitation project. So we can actually see the finish line ahead. We're getting closer. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, only on Mondays and Tuesdays, so it's not going to be closed for 3 weeks, but on Mondays and Tuesdays, the next three Mondays and Tuesdays, we will have some closures in the downtown parking lot area. So I wanted to make council aware of that. We have been continuing work within the parking lots with new lighting being installed, with some concrete improvements, with some dig outs and asphalt improvements. So Next Monday and Tuesday, the parking lots will be closed for us to grind out stripes and do some preparation for the resurfacing of the parking lots. The following Monday and Tuesday, which is October 25th and 26th, that is when all three parking lots will be resurfaced on Monday and Tuesday. The reason we're doing all of this on Monday and Tuesday is in communication with the downtown restaurants and businesses, they stress that Mondays and Tuesdays were the least impact to their businesses and operations. So we're really, it's taking the project a little longer, but we're trying to do this on the days that have the least impact to the operations of the businesses downtown. And then the following November 1st and November 2nd, that Monday and Tuesday, all of the parking lots will be closed for the restriping. And then the parking lots will be open from that point on. We will not have to close the parking lots again. So the end is near. There will still be some minor activity in the parking lots after these closures, such as installing the lights on the poles. We are still waiting for those fixtures to come in, but the underground conduit and all the installation is complete. So just wanted to give you an update on that. Also, we have flyers that we will be circulating starting tomorrow. We're going to hand deliver these to businesses downtown adjacent to the parking lots. We're also going to ask Eric if he will kind of put these on his social media pages. So, you know, our businesses downtown know what's coming. So,
great. Thanks. Thanks, Russ.
So as everyone talked about, we got the big check. So very excited for this. The plans have already been designed. And so we're just waiting on some final requirements of the funding and then hopefully go out to bid and then start construction shortly after. So,
yeah, great.
Paul, I think you were going to try to do a mobile deposit with that.
Oh, my husband tried already.
We'll see if that works. Yeah. Council, just wanted to let you know that next Tuesday, October 19th at 8:30 in the morning, hosted at the Reedley Chamber, the city will be holding a community business meeting for outdoor dining. We will be addressing, of course, the parklets that are remaining within the downtown area. As you know, there are still some there. We are committed to those items staying in place at least through the end of the calendar year, but we're engaging with the businesses between now and that time to talk about what they want to see for the future of outdoor dining with the parklets included in that conversation throughout the community. So it is community-wide. We've been working with Eric together to make sure that we have things on the social media platforms. We're also making sure that we're having direct engagement with the businesses. My focus has been more on the businesses in the downtown area, and in particular those that had parklets or continue to have them placed there, while Eric has been helping to make sure that we're getting all of the business community in, because we do want it to be a conversation about what businesses are seeing for outdoor dining, the trends, the items that they may have experienced or learned during COVID, things that they would like to either retain or talk to council about retaining, and any type of policies that we have in place that were different during COVID that may not, that were allowed during the emergency of COVID that had not been allowed prior before. So as we get all of those items discussed and we get their feedback, then of course staff would come back to the table and present council with what that feedback was and an analysis of what we currently have in place, what we experienced, the feedback that we got, and present you at that time with some options and requests for additional direction. So just wanted to let you know, next Tuesday, 8:30 in the morning, hosted at the Reedley Chamber offices. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. All right. We do have two closed session items this evening. Item 23 is Government Code Section 54956.9 D2, a government conference with legal counsel and anticipated litigation. And item 24, Government Code Section 54957. Public Employee Performance Evaluation, or City Attorney. Is there any public comment on these items before we go into closed session? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to thank you all for coming this evening, and we will return after our closed session items to report out. Thank you.